is a shiur that's going to be on tshuva. This is sponsored by friends of David Wickzal in his memory, Lilui Nishma David Ben Mordechai Shmuel Zichrono Livracha. I wanted to remind you of the fact that the Torah is quite convinced of the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron with him sinned, a sin that could be called Chilul Hashem. Right? Amnam, in the Torah it says, I don't have these psukim on the sheet, but you remember them probably. Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Al Hashem ma'altem bi, Moshe and Aaron. Al Hashem lo kidashtem oti. You did not sanctify me, God says to Moshe Rabbeinu, betok b'nei Yisrael. Ki mineged tireh et ha'aretz, and the punishment is that Moshe Rabbeinu will not go into Eretz Yisrael and will not be able to participate with all the rest of the people in the culmination of his shlichut, of whatever he was sent to lead b'nei Yisrael to. All of that is well known. All of that is well known. So if you ask yourself the question, I mean, Moshe Rabbeinu must have done tshuva. No, it says in the parasha Vetchanan el Hashem. We know that tefillah, I mean, we say it unisana tokef. Not, you know, unisana tokef is it is a very tough piyut. Like, whatever the efforts that were made to get rid of piyutim in the machzor of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, they were not able to affect the Nisana Tokef. No one wants to give up on the Nisana Tokef. And you know in shul, wherever you were in shul, there's a great awakening for the Nisana Tokef. The chazan, whoever that may be, puts on the best show of the day when he says or he sings Nisana Tokef. Now the Nisana Tokef tells us this principle that tefillah is equal to tshuva and tzedakah, which puts tefillah at a very high level. So here's Moshe Rabbeinu, he's davening, v'etchanan el Hashem v'et ahil emor. So davening equals charata, equals unhappiness about what I have done. I admit that I did something terrible, and I'm not going to do it again. Certainly Moshe Rabbeinu did not do it again. And yet, this tshuva, which I think is implied in the words of Moshe Rabbeinu, is not accepted by heaven. It's not accepted by heaven. So that you have this kind of a problem, I think, where on the one hand, we know that tshuva should work. Even if it doesn't work 100%, it should somehow modify your position before God. And that's what the Rambam is going to tell us in a minute. So Moshe Rabbeinu and tshuva are a kind of a problem. Like, what happened to Moshe Rabbeinu? Why couldn't he do tshuva? And looking at it from the other side, of course you know that we don't even know what his transgression was. I mean, what did Moshe Rabbeinu do that was so terrible? I mean, it would seem from Rashi that God said to Moshe Rabbeinu, speak to the rock. And Moshe Rabbeinu, no. Which way? Moshe Rabbeinu should speak to the rock, and then Moshe Rabbeinu went and hit the rock. So, okay, hitting the rock is not the same as speaking to the rock, but it's not as though you've diminished the miraculous nature of whatever's going on. I mean, one would not expect speaking to the rock to produce water, and one would not expect hitting the rock to produce the water. So what exactly was it that Moshe Rabbeinu did that was so unacceptable? Now the Mefarshim throughout the ages, the Rishonim summarized by the Abarbanel. If you looked there, if you look at the Abarbanel, you see that the Abarbanel goes through all of the possibilities that were brought. And he says, you know, none of them are compelling, according to the Abarbanel. So that's the first thing that I wanted to say. I wanted to mention the words of the Chumash, right, at the end of Devarim, right, in Azinu, close to where we are actually, right? What's this parsha this week?
Vayelech.
So we're close, right? We're close to the death of Moshe Rabbeinu. It says, Ki mineg al asher lo kidashtem oti b'toch b'nei Yisrael. You did not sanctify me. You didn't sanctify me. You know, when you say it in English, you think it means something. But as it is with words, just because you hear a word a lot of times doesn't mean that you really understand it in its original context, or in any context for that matter. I mean, what is it about men that could produce sanctity for God? I mean, it's like a little bit, it's out of our league. So if you look at the sheet that you have, you see that the Rambam comes to a conclusion. He says, "Kol Beit Yisrael mitzuvim al kiddush Hashem." The first thing on the sheet, "Kol Beit Yisrael mitzuvim al kiddush Hashem." So the Rambam says, it's not just Moshe Rabbeinu who transgressed, but it's every one of us who has an obligation to do kiddush Hashem. Right? We have to sanctify God's name. As though, I mean, God is missing something, missing us sanctifying His name. And then it says, Shenemar. And you know the Rambam system, whenever he says it's a mitzvah, it means there's a pasuk. The pasuk is, Nikdashti, B'toch B'nei Yisrael, Vayikra. Umuzharin, Shelo Lechalelo. And we are warned against Chilul Hashem. Right? The opposite of sanctifying God's name, which is to, well, whatever that might mean, lechale. What? I don't know if it means to blast. I don't know. What?
Defile? Normally they say desecrate.
Which?
Desecrate.
Oh, desecrate. Okay.
What desecrate?
Look, you know, I'm not good at translations. Shalom lechale lo shedema, lo techale lo shedema. It says in the Pasuk, do not, quote unquote, desecrate. Do not desecrate God's name. So this Rambam opens up and he says, on the one hand, we have an obligation for Kiddush Hashem. On the other hand, we have a prohibition against Chilul Hashem. And then the Rambam says, Ketzad. So how do you do it? I mean, how do you go running around looking for Kiddush Hashem? How do you go running around avoiding Chilul Hashem? What do you do? So he says, "Shiyamod ovei kochavim v'yenoset Yisrael lavor alachat b'kol mitzvot amurot b'Torah." Oh yeah, genu. He says, the Rambam knew about this. The Rambam had a very difficult life. The first 30 years of his life, until he got to Alexandria in Egypt, where he found peace and stability, his family was constantly on the move, running away from one kind of oppression or the other. You know that in Spain, in those days, there was like Christian Spain and Muslim Spain there. And everybody, Christians and Muslims alike, thought that the Jews were in the wrong place. So the Rambam suffered from the pressure that was brought to bear on him and his family during those years until he came to be about 30 years old. So he brings an example. He says, if some non-Jew wants to force me, right? He says to to deny a mitzvah. He says, eat this ham sandwich. Otherwise, if you don't eat the ham sandwich, I will kill you. Ya'avor v'lo yeharek. You should eat the ham sandwich and don't let him kill you. Shenema b'mitzvot she'aseh ma'adam v'chai b'hem. And it's a mitzvah that given to us to live with and not to die because of them. V'chai b'hem v'lo she'yamut b'hem. V'meit v'lo avar. If you die, as you say, I'm not going to eat that ham sandwich, and then the guy comes and kills you. So the Rambam says, he says, I mean, he's already dead, but his position, I guess, in Olam Haba is adversely affected if he does that. That's the first thing the Rambam says. Mamed varim amurim halacha bet. He says, so the Rambam has this theory, which is found already in the Gemara, that there are three mitzvot that are so important that even in a situation described above, you can't allow yourself to transgress those mitzvot. And what are they? Idolatry, and sexual offenses, and murder. Those three things you're not allowed to do in any case. Aval shalosh avirot elu im yomar lo avor al achat men o tehareg yehareg v'al yavor. What?
Someone's trying to find his way.
So the Rambam says this. How do you sanctify God's name? How do you sanctify God's name? Well, you want to live. Living is sanctification of God's name. Except in a particular case. Three mitzvot where sanctifying God's name means allowing the non-Jew, to kill you rather than transgress. Those three mitzvot are idolatry, sexual offenses, and murder. Okay? That's what the Rambam says. So, if you read the Rambam, and it's a little bit odd. I'm going to say, has something to do with us? This Rambam? Are we involved here in any way? I mean, it's not something that's happened recently. I mean, it's throughout history, I guess, it has happened from time to time. For some reason, the Jews have always been an annoyance, right, in foreign cultures or foreign countries. And so they have been oppressed in this way. But for us, it's like a little bit different. Okay. Now look at the bottom of the page. The bottom of the page is a quote from the Gemara in Masechet Yuma Daf Pei Vav Amud Aleph. We're going to learn the Gemara. Sha'al Rabbi Matya ben Harash et Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah ben Romi. Romi is Rome. Shemata Abba Chalukei Kapara Shaya Rabbi Yishmael Doresh. Did you hear about the four Chalukei Kapara? So here there was a kind of an interesting question that the Chachamim dealt with. And that question was, how does tshuva affect your position? Like you transgressed during the year, and now you do tshuva. You do tshuva really very enthusiastically and very devotedly. So what happens to all the transgressions that you participated in? So the conclusion in the Gemara is, well, it depends. Even though you would have thought perhaps that tshuva takes care of it, but in fact the Gemara says that tshuva alone does not take care of all the problems that we may have created in the recent past. And so Rabbi Matya ben Harash asked Rabbi Elazar, did you hear about the distinctions that were made by Rabbi Yishmael. Amar, he's answered him, Shloshayim. Uchuva im kol echad vechad. That actually, there are only three distinctions. And for each of these distinctions, you have to do tshuva. Tshuva doesn't take, might not take care of the problem, but it's helpful. It gets you along. So every time you transgress, you have to do tshuva. So the Rambam says, the Gemara says, Avar alas esei v'shav. Let's say you didn't fulfill a positive commandment. You didn't do something that the Torah wants you to do. It wants you to take a lulav, wants you to eat a matzah. You didn't do what the Torah wants you to do. So the Gemara says, Avar al esei b'shav, you didn't perform the positive commandment that you should have performed, v'shav, and you do tshuva. You do tshuva means, I feel badly that I did it, that I won't do it again, and I'll be a different kind of, have a different attitude in the future. Eino zaz misham ad shemochalim lo. You don't move. It was meaning symbolically that a person who does tshuva for something that he didn't do, that he was supposed to do, he receives atonement. He's atoned immediately, right on the spot. You can be confident. Shenemar shuv banim shovavim. It's a pasuk. Return my sons, the wayward ones. Right, that there is such a thing. Sometimes the wayward sons actually return. Second, avar alota say vasa tshuva. Says, but what if you transgressed by doing something that you're not supposed to do? Right, what happens if you did eat that non-kosher sandwich? Right, that's avar alota say. The Torah says, don't eat it, and you ate it. Avar alota say vasa tshuva, tshuva tola. Somehow tshuva works to prevent you from being punished, but it does not grant you absolution. What grants you absolution? Yom HaKippurim mechaper. But in other words, you do tshuva, you did this, you transgressed the law, you did tshuva. The tshuva does not take care of the issue entirely, but it affects a postponement until Yom HaKippurim. Right? And then on Yom HaKippurim, Michaper. Then when Yom HaKippurim comes, somehow Yom HaKippurim does it. Shenema ki b'yom hazeh, chaper alechem, called out to Techem. Next week you're going to say this line many times. Right? Ki b'yom hazeh, Yechaper Alechem, which we take to mean today that the day of Yom HaKippurim affects Kapara somehow. Affects Kapara. Whether you have to show up or you don't have to show up. I mean, all these are interesting questions. But that's what the Gemara says. Shenei Makim Yom HaSeh Yechaper Alechem Mikol Chatoteichem. Now, Avar Al Kritutu Mitat Beit Din V'Asa Tshuva. What if you transgressed the most awful kinds of transgressions? A transgression for which you would be chayev the death penalty. Right? You would be, or kritut, or to be cut off from the Jewish people in heaven. Right? This terrible, the most terrible punishment. So tshuva v'yom ha-kippurim tolin. So tshuva works a little bit. Tshuva and Yom HaKippurim work a little bit more for that person, right? So you need tshuva, you need Yom HaKippurim, and then Yisurim Mimarkin. Yisurim are afflictions, right? Physical affliction. Mimarkin. Limarek means to purify. Like you could purify, so you take out the out of a metal something that is unnecessary or unwanted. That's Yisurim Markim, Shenemar Fakadati Vishavit Visham, and Negaim Avonam. You get it? So the Gemara has taught us that tshuva is a necessary component in every process of repentance, but it's not always the ultimate component. And sometimes tshuva is enough. Sometimes tshuva needs Yom HaKippurim working together. And sometimes tshuva, Yom HaKippurim are not enough, and you need Yisurim, you need affliction l'marek, okay? Aval, you see that word aval? That word is the reason we went through all this again. Aval, that's always a good word, you know. Aval. However, mi sheyesh chilul Hashem biyado, ein lo koch b'tshuva letlot lo b'kipurim lechaper v'lo yivisurim b'marek, ela kulan tolin, umita memareket sheneemar v'negla b'aznei Hashem tzvakot yivisaper avat, hazeh lachem atem mutu. Chilul Hashem, forget about it. Right? You do tshuva, you're there in shul on Yom HaKippurim, you get Yisurim from heaven, you know, however you get them, right? It doesn't work. What's the only thing that works? Misa. Death. Your death might lead to atonement from those Averot. So it says, if you go back to the example of Moshe Rabbeinu, so it's kind of clear. It's clear. Well, I mean, I'm not saying, you know, who came first, you know, the horse or the cart. I don't know. But what does it say? What does it say in the Gemara about Moshe Rabbeinu? Moshe Rabbeinu had to die. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu have to die and not go to Eretz Yisrael? Because he was accused of Chilul Hashem. And since Moshe Rabbeinu was probably also a subject to the idea of tshuva and kapora, right? There was no choice. It wasn't as though HaKadosh Baruch Hu was particularly unhappy with Moshe Rabbeinu. It was just that if Moshe Rabbeinu's sin is called Chilul Hashem, if that's what it's called, and that's what the Torah says that it's called. So here the Gemara says, death is the only way to receive atonement. And since Moshe Rabbeinu really asked for, what did he ask for? What did Moshe Rabbeinu ask for? Skip it. Let's skip the last, tshuva I did. And Yom HaKippurim I participated in. And Yisurim I have from Bnei Yisrael, etc. Well, however you'd explain it. But let's skip Misa. That's Moshe Rabbeinu's request. And that was what was denied Moshe Rabbeinu. Not because, of course, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu had to be a model for the correct ordering of things. He couldn't just be... Okay.
Purifying
affliction
is not a concept that we run into a lot.
I just read it from the Gemara.
I know, I understand you read it, but
so how could I argue?
Themselves actually purify you. You like you might have afflictions in order to purify you, or how
just
does that work?
I don't know.
I don't think we cause ourselves afflictions. I think they come upon us.
It was noticed. It was noticed that there are people who suffer. There are people in the world who suffer physically. And it's not unreasonable to ask in a world that is directed by God, why is it that some people suffer and some people do not? So one of the conclusions, one of the answers to that question is that some of the people who suffer because they are supposed to suffer. It's good for them to suffer. It's proper for them to suffer. Something of that kind. And that's something that I know too much about. I don't know anything about it. But that's what the Gemara says. That's what the Gemara says. Now the reason that I read the Gemara is for the next line. We're up to the next line. The next line says, Shneimar, right on. Only death can deal with the reality of somebody who is accused of chilul Hashem shenemar, and then the pasuk, right? Hey chidame chilul Hashem. You see that? It's exactly five lines, six lines from the bottom. The last words on the line. Hechi dame chilul Hashem. Hechi dame chilul Hashem. So we've learned up to now, that different people, depending on their transgression, achieve atonement in a kind that may achieve atonement a different way. Not the same way for everybody. For some people, tshuva is enough. For others, tshuva and Yom HaKippurim. For another group, tshuva, Yom HaKippurim, and Yisurim. And finally, for Chilul Hashem, tshuva, Yom HaKippurim, Yisurim, and Misa. So the Gemara says, Hechidami Chilul Hashem. Hechidami Chilul Hashem. What is this? What are we talking about? Obviously, the Gemara didn't think that people are going to go around and be able to do the Aveira of Moshe Rabbeinu, that they'll be given a specific task to do from God and that they would change it somehow. No, this is, what are we talking about? What is it that you're talking about? Is it the Chilul Hashem that the Rambam mentions? Remember the Rambam's Chilul Hashem? If the oppressor says, eat the ham sandwich, eat the treif sandwich, then you should eat it. You should eat it as long as it's not one of the three grand mitzvot that we have to keep. That's what the Rambam said. Hechidami chilul Hashem, amar Rav kigon ano. So Rav says, Rav was the first generation of Amoraim in Bavel, right? A very important person in terms of the transmission of the halachot in the Babylonian Talmud. I mean, Rav is the linchpin of the Rav and Shmuel. Rav and Shmuel are the first generation of Amoraim in Bavel, and Rav was in Eretz Yisrael, studied in Eretz Yisrael, went to Bavel, and produced many, many sugyot that are in the Talmud. So you're talking about a truly great man who was recognized in his own day as being a great man. So Omar Rav, Kidon Ano, I'll tell you what Chilul Hashem is. It's me. It's like me. It's like meaning. It's like what I do. What do I do? Isha kilo bisra mitavcho. When I go and buy a piece of meat from a butcher, tavcho is a butcher, velo yahivna dome la'altar, and I don't give him money, I don't pay him immediately, that's called Chilul Hashem. Right? Abaye comes along and he says, Lo Shanu el Abatra de Lote Boy. He says, we must be talking about a place where it's not common for the seller to go and ask for his money later on. Abaye de Teboy. But if it is common, then Rav's position would not be relevant. Omar Ravina several generations later. Mota Machasya Atra de Tevoyi. Mota Machasya is the name of the place where there was a big yeshiva that Ravina was in charge of. Mota Machasya Atra de Tevoyi. So in other words, what did Rav say? We'll see. Maybe we'll look at the Gemara. But one more line. Abaye. You see Abaye? Kedeshakel bisra mitrei shutvei. If he took meat from a store which was run by two partners, you know, two brothers were the butchers. So he says, Yaev zuzelahai, uzuzelahai. If he would buy two zuz worth of meat, he would give one zuz to one brother and another zuz to another brother. V'hoda mekarev lehu gabei hadadei ve'avid chushbina. And then later on he would bring them both together, you know, the two brothers, and then they would make the cheshbon. So each of them would know that he gave half he paid half to the other brother. This was Ravina. No, I'm sorry. This is Abaye.
So that's okay or that's not okay?
It is okay. He didn't want. Well, we're going to see how Rashi explains it in a minute. You see Rashi? Rashi says, Chilul Hashem? It's exactly the middle of the printed Rashi. exactly in the middle. The words are highlighted. Chilul Hashem. Now that's Chilul Hashem. Right? So Rashi says, you know what Chilul Hashem is? Chotei u'machti acherim. Chotei u'machti acherim. I don't know exactly what that means, but let's think a minute about Ravina. Ravina said, I want to pay right away. Or Abaye said, I want to pay this partner and that partner. I don't want anybody to think. So what he did, what he would have done, had he not been on that level of thoughtfulness, he wouldn't have been a chotei. You could always pay one of the brothers, and you figure he'll be honest and pass it on to the other brother. I mean, why would you think they're all criminals in Mata Machasi? They all want to steal one from the other. But Rashi says, Chilul Hashem chotei u'machti acherim. What does chotei u'machti acherim mean? Okay. You see now two Rashi's down. Lo yehivna domi la'altar. You see lo yehivna domi la'altar. The first word on the line is la'altar. It's like six or seven lines up from the bottom. Shani ma'achel lefroa. Listen to this. Shani ma'achel lefroa. I don't pay him right away. I say, okay, you know, write it down. You know, that's an Israeli game. You know, there used to be a makolet. Remember makolet? So now they
still do it.
So now they have credit cards.
No, they still have it. Makolet still has a box and stuff because a lot of customers don't have credit cards.
You know, I live in Montesdorf, which is in the 17th century. We have a makolet. To tell me about makolet, but the idea is. The idea is it's very accepted not to pay immediately. You pay after a while, right, if you can. It's annoying to take out the money all the time and to pay. So listen to Rashi says, Kshani ma'achel lefroa, hu omer shani gazlan. He says, if I don't pay him sooner, then the guy who I owe the money to, he's going to say, I'm a stomach crook. You know, I mean, you're a big Talmud Chacham, but you're a crook. Shani gazlan v'lamad mimeni leyot mezalzel begezel. You see the brilliance of Rashi. It's just wonderful. He says, what happens? Rashi says, what happens if Ravina doesn't pay his debt right away? So you say, oh, that's what it means to be a great scholar. What does it mean to be a Talmud Chacham? You can steal a little bit. I don't want to refer to newspaper articles of the recent past. But this is Rashi. This is what Rashi says. Ravina says, Machti acherim, what is it that you do when you don't pay on time? What is Chilul Hashem? Chilul Hashem means that you lessen the importance of a divine command. You lessen that the importance. You say, here's a very big Talmud Chacham. Like, seems to me, it's like, for example, you know, people know the law, or who are well versed in halakha. They know that there are in situations there might be a trick. You might be able to, you don't have to do what everybody else does. You could do it a different way. But if everybody else doesn't understand what you're doing, they might come to the conclusion that you just, you know, you don't think it's a serious matter. You don't think that it's a problem. You don't think it's a problem, and so that's what the person is going to do. Okay? Next to the last Rashi, two lines from the bottom, Yaiv Zuzer Lahai V'Zuzer Lahai. Shemelo yadacha beirosh netativ lo v'yesh kan chilul Hashem. In other words, the two partners, you pay one partner, you don't pay the other partner. So the other one doesn't know that you paid. that you paid. You may have paid the entire sum. But because he doesn't know that you paid, he'll say, oh, you know, you're a rabbi. Rabbis don't pay. So we're talking about someone who didn't really transgress. That's what it says. So the Rambam in Hilchot Teshuvah references these things, right? And he says, if you look at the top of the page, right, the Rambam in Perek Hay, no, I mean in Perek Aleph, Halacha Da, not the top of the page, the second part, Rambam Hilchot Teshuvah, Perek Aleph, Halacha Dalet, the Rambam says this. You're going to see that the Rambam repeats our Gemara that we just learned. Even though tshuva does the job always, Batzmoshi Yom HaKippurim, Mechaper and Yom HaKippurim always takes care of something. Yesh Avirot Shem Mitkaprim L'Shatan, Yesh Avirot Shem Mitkaprim Ele L'Chazman. So the Rambam says, tshuva always works. Yom HaKippurim always works. That doesn't mean that tshuva takes care of 100% of your problem, or that Yom HaKippurim takes care of 100% of your problem. He says, Ketzad, Avar Adam HaMitzvah Taseh Shein Bo Karet Vasa Tshuva Ino Zaz Misham, etc. This is the Gemara, right? Tshuva Yom HaKippurim Tolil. If you look at the three lines from the bottom, The last word of the sentence, Bamed Varim Amurim. The Rambam says, when does this work? This whole system, which includes Tshuva, Yom HaKippurim, and Yisurim. When does this work? Bamed Varim Amurim. B'shelo chilel het Hashem b'sha'ah she'avar. If you did not produce chilul Hashem. Then the Rambam, what's the next words? B'sha'ah she'avar. What does B'sha'ah she'avar mean? When you transgress. That means that any transgression in the world can be turned into chilul Hashem. In other words, if you are the kind of person about whom people will say, oh, it's not that important. The mitzvah is not so important. The Torah, you don't have to listen to the Torah. That becomes a chilul Hashem. And that's every single transgression possible. Every single one. Right? So that the Rambam says, as Rashi said. Remember Rashi? Rashi says, chote umachti. Any transgression that you do can become chilul Hashem. This but if you do chilul Hashem, So the Rambam says, again, every single transgression can be turned into chilul Hashem. It's true that the Rambam only did it for that Moshe Rabbeinu did it only for a particular transgression, but any transgression, as Rashi says, can be turned into chote umachti, b'shelo chilat Hashem, etc. Ela tshuva yom haKippurim v'yisurin shloshtan tolim. So the Rambam doesn't really tell us what Chilul Hashem is, but he opens the door to the understanding of it. Interestingly, the Rambam in Hilchot Yisodei Torah, which we started from, right, remember we started talking about Hilchot Yisodei HaTorah. So if you look at Halacha Yud Aleph, that's at the top of the page. Right, first Halacha Aleph, then Halacha Yud Aleph. The Rambam says this, and this is a chapter about Chilul Hashem, but not the kind of Chilul Hashem that we're talking about. So a technical Chilul Hashem. Like, what do you do if If somebody is forcing you to eat non-kosher food, well, what do? So the Rambam answers that question, and he says it's connected to your understanding of what Kiddush Hashem is, what Chilul Hashem is. The Rambam in Halacha Yud Aleph, in that chapter, says, Yesh dvarim acherim sheheim beklal Chilul Hashem. Besides what I have mentioned to you, which is based on Psukim, if you remember, right? Look at Halacha Aleph. Mitzukho Beit Yisrael mitzuvim ha-kiddush Hashem ha-gadol azay shenemar v'nikdashti b'toch b'nei Yisrael. You have to do something to produce Kiddush Hashem. And here in Yud Aleph, Halacha Yud Aleph, the Rambam says, Yesh dvarim acherim sheheim bechlal chilul Hashem. Chilul Hashem is a wide-ranging concept. V'hu shi'asar tam adam gadol b'torah umifursam b'chassidut. And we're talking about a person who is a great Torah scholar and well known for his special devotions, chassidut. Dvarim shabriyot miranenim acharav bishvilan, those things that people tell, they talk about him, and they say, oh, you know, he did this, or he did that, or he did the other things. Avo pisha einan averot, here the Rambam says it, even though that which he is doing is not a transgression, even though it's not a transgression to buy something on credit, if the seller is willing to give you the credit. It's not a transgression, certainly, to pay one of two partners when there are two partners who are selling something. It's not a transgression. And here the Rambam says it. Ava pishe nana veirot, they are not transgressions. Harei ze chilel et Hashem. Harei ze chilel et Hashem kigon. Shelakach veino notein de beyamechach la'altar. Remember that? You take something and you don't pay immediately. V'hu sheyesh lo. You're talking about someone who can afford it. V'nimtzu'u ha-mokrim tov'im v'hu makifan. And the sellers come and they say, could you pay me? And he says, oh, I'll pay it tomorrow. I'll pay it tomorrow morning. Now, it could be that he's doing it for a legitimate reason, but it looks bad. That's what the Rambam, that's called a chilul Hashem. He says, a person, you know, sits around and laughs with you know, idol doers and sits around with guys sitting and drinking and doesn't speak calmly and quietly. He doesn't look upon them in a nice way. He gets angry easily and he fights with people. He says everything is the fi gadlo shel chacham, according to the level of that particular person. So we understand. We understand what the transgression of Moshe Rabbeinu was, according to the Rambam. Even though the Rambam himself explains it a different way. But here we can explain it as follows. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu, speak to the rock. Moshe Rabbeinu hit the rock. So in the world of the Jews of the desert, miracles were not something that you didn't expect. But the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu did not accept the directive of HaKadosh Baruch Hu precisely as it was given tended perhaps to make people think that you didn't have to do that. You didn't have to accept the directive of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's called the Chilul Hashem. And that was the transgression for which Moshe Rabbeinu was found to be guilty. To all of this, I would like to add one thing. We live in a different world. And I'll tell you the difference. There was a world once, you know, everybody knew that Rav, and Rav Shmuel, and Shmuel, Rav and Shmuel, Ravina, Ravashi, were the Gedolim. They were clearly the people that the Rambam is talking about. But today, in today's world, I mean, I think it's true that people are interested in finding Gedolim for themselves. Like, they don't have a real way of making the assessment. Who is a great person? I mean, I don't know. I mean, who is a great scholar? Most people are not able to make that kind of assessment. So you have a lot of people who play that role. Today, there are many people who play. I mean, I'm talking in a positive way. I'm not saying thinking that they're not usurping anything. But there are, for example, rabbis all over the world. Not all the rabbis are equally competent in Talmud. Not all the rabbis are equally competent in Halakha, which doesn't mean that they won't have a following, that they won't be people who are interested in their opinions and what they have to say. It's also true that people who keep the Torah tend to become experts to some group around them. In other words, everybody who is tries to be halachic, tries to do what the Torah wants us to do, could be in this category of, you have to make sure that people are not going to misunderstand you. You can't say, a person can say, well, I'm just regular, and therefore nobody's going to pay attention to what I do. And no one is going to be unhappy with my positions. So I'll take the maximum credit, that I won't talk to people when I meet them in the street, and I don't have to be. Because for some group of people, someplace, you represent the Torah, and therefore the possibility that you might get yourself involved in Chilul Hashem really exists. You can't say, well, I'm nobody, so no one's going to suspect me of denying God's word. And you know, the Rambam says this includes being angry easily, not being pleasant when you meet other people that you know. He says, the Rambam says all of that can produce Chilul Hashem in a great scholar. But I think that it might produce Chilul Hashem within a particular context, even for people who don't see themselves as great scholars, but others look upon them as the source of their understanding and their strength, and their so that everybody has to be concerned not only about the aveira and not only about living in a better way or acting in a better way to others than we might ordinarily do, but we have to be concerned about the fact that everything can be turned into a Chilul Hashem. And Chilul Hashem means that you generate misunderstanding about the importance of accepting the Torah position. You generate misunderstanding. You say, oh, it's not that important to be friendly, not that important to be pleasant-minded to others. It's not so important. It's not really a basis of the Torah. But the Rambam thought that anything that you could understand as being good, reasonable, the right thing to do, is actually the right thing to do. And the Rambam, of course, you know, put this all down in his book, in Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah. So I think that on Yom Kippurim we look for aveiros, and I think thankfully most people don't really find them. And we don't really find them. I mean, you know, we're sort of regular people. We're not extraordinary in our ability to transgress. We're regular, right? We're regular. We go to, we go where we're supposed to go, and we do what we're supposed to do, and we eat what we're supposed to eat, and we avoid eating what we're not supposed to eat. So we're regular. We're regular. But we have to understand, I think, that even regular people find themselves acting as models, as somehow the representation, representing the Torah in an interesting way to the people around them. Like everybody has a circle around them, some people that they look to, and others who look to them. And when it comes to the people looking to them, you have this issue of Chilul Hashem. And it would seem to be, in spite of the fact that, as I said, the Rambam has a different take on it himself, that Moshe Rabbeinu is the proof. Moshe is the proof. I mean, could you think that Moshe Rabbeinu would be mechalel et Hashem, that Moshe Rabbeinu would want to do something against God? Moshe Rabbeinu, he had his, whatever his idea was, whatever the reason he hit the rock. But in fact, people looking at Moshe Rabbeinu, watching him act in the world, would come to the wrong conclusion. Chote umachti. That's what the Rambam says. Even if what you did was not, strictly speaking, a transgression. After all, the Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to get water in a miraculous way for B'nai Yisrael, and that was certainly miraculous. Nevertheless, this doubt that could have crept into the people, into the minds of the people, who said, well, you don't have to be so precise. You don't have to do it exactly, right, as Moshe Rabbeinu received it from heaven. So that the problem of Chilul Hashem might be a problem that everybody should consider on Yom HaKippurim, something that we can, because I think we can think about it. I think it's something that is can be thought about. It doesn't demand superhuman strength or knowledge. So I wish you Gmar Chasim Tovim. All the